everybody. You thought I was going to lead in worship, didn't you? You thought, I knew I had you. You thought this guy's just going to break out in a Garth Brooks song or something, lead worship. No. Glad you're here. This is our second celebration service for 50 years of Eagles Way Church. That's a long, long time. And if you've been here for more than 30 years, raise your hand. More than 30 years. Wow. Yeah, that deserves a hand clap. Yeah. You got like this dude right here. How old are you? 26 this week. 26 this week? When's your birthday?
Friday.
This Friday? Coming Friday? Happy birthday. What you want for your birthday?
A whole bunch of money.
David, you were born in this church, right?
Yeah.
Dedicated in this church.
Yep.
Raised up in this church.
Are you
glad you're here?
Yeah.
Tell me one thing you like about Eagles Way.
That it's always willing to change and evolve.
Hey, you want to preach this morning? That's good stuff. All right. Got Ron Gray here. You glad to have Ron here? Yeah, he's... We're going to let him share for about this much. And then he's going to introduce the speaker, Charles Simpson, that we're so glad to have. But I'm glad you're here. And we just appreciate everybody. And thank you for being a part of this church. And we've got 50 more years to go and just seeing some great things happen. So God bless you. Worship God. Thank Him for what He has done and is going to continue to do.
Power, power, here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. There is power, power, here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. Whoa, here's a sound from heaven. Whoa, a mighty rushing wind. Whoa, we're calling for revival. God, let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. And your daughters dreaming the dreams of their fathers, seeing the signs and the wonders, the kingdom of God. Whoa, hear the sound from heaven. Whoa, a mighty rushing wind. Your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. Burning in my soul. I cannot contain it. This fire inside. I cannot contain it. So let it shine. I cannot contain it. This light of mine. It's burning in my soul. From heaven, whoa, a mighty rushing wind, whoa, we're calling for revival. Gotta let your fire fall again. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my soul. to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy. Humbled, I bow down. A presence at your throne. And I call, you answer. And I came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy. Humbled, I bow down in your presence at your throne. And I call, you answer. Wanna be where you are, yeah. God, thank you for your church. Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for 50 years at Eagles Way of constantly changing and evolving to be where you want us to be. Thank you so much for letting us be here to worship you, God. Sing this with me, maybe your prayer is one.
In my life, be lifted high, and our world, be lifted high, and our love, you're lifted high. Lifted high, and our world, you're lifted high. Love's like a hurricane, and I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Jealous for me, his love's like a hurricane, and I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves me. Yes, he loves.
you glad he loves you? Woo, what would we do if he didn't love us? Amen. God's a good God. You may be seated. As our ushers are preparing this morning to receive our tithes and offerings and alms, you can go ahead and begin passing those out. I want to thank everybody that was involved at Rushton's Hope yesterday, feeding. I think they fed 315 people yesterday, something like that. And so I'm telling you, there was ladies that were preparing food in the kitchen and some that were there serving, some that were at the food pantry serving there. And so if you are not serving, it's your own fault. You could be. So if you want to be blessed, you need to serve at some point in time. Whether it's the children's ministry here, whether it's at the cookout today, there is a meal being prepared for you right as you speak. There is pulled pork, barbecue, and slaw, and beans. And we are anticipating every one of you being at the pavilion. It is on Aerodrome Road, which is off of Carver Road. And if you don't know how to get there, just follow somebody. We'll be happy to show you how to get there. They did say, well, parents, I need to hear this, the lake is very high. The dock, it's all the way to the top of the dock. You can barely see the wood. So the jumpy game is not down there where the playground is. And if you go down there, you want to be careful because the water is high. But everything else should be fine as far as that aspect of it. And also, parents, the kids department is passing these out. When you check your kids in, they're trying to make sure they have all updated information to be able to communicate with you via text or email. Or that kind of thing. So if you will make sure that you, if you have a child and that goes into the children's ministry at any point in time, if you'll fill that out. So, awesome. Let's pray. Let's bless this. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, we can worship you. Lord, that you, Lord, just encourage and fill us, Father, Lord. Refresh us through singing and worship, through your spoken word, Father, for through Scripture. Thank you, Lord God, for this day and the cookout and all that's transpiring, Lord, 50 years of Eagles Way being in existence. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have the opportunity to introduce Pastor Ronald Gray, which is our resident missionary. When I say resident, he doesn't live here, but he comes here as often as he possibly can. But he is, where did you tell me you were going Wednesday? Poland? Going to Poland on Wednesday. He's been everywhere. He'll probably tell a little bit about that. Ron, if you will come and greet the people.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you. It's been a very busy year. I've traveled pretty extensively. I've been in Kenya, Vietnam, Cambodia, the Philippines this year. And as Will said, I leave Wednesday for Poland. And so we've been very busy and doing a lot of different things, but so glad to be here to celebrate with you today and just to share life with you. When Buren asked me about coming this weekend and coming with Brother Charles, I did a little acronym of Eagles Way. And I just want to tell you what Eagles Way has meant to me. I've been coming for 38 years. Here, so I'm somewhere in that neighborhood of a long time being part of this church and what's taking place here and knowing so many of you. But I thought that E is for everyone is welcome. One of the great things I love about this church is that everybody's welcome. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is, that you're welcome to be a part of this. A is a place of opportunity and hope. It's a place that you can come and receive opportunity to become what God wants you to be and have a hope for your future and to know what God has put in you and what he wants to do in your life. G is for God is exalted. Ever since I've been here, coming here, there's always been great worship. Always an opportunity to magnify and exalt the Lord God Almighty. And it's always great to have not just music, but a worshipful attitude to exalt God. L is for leaders lead. One of the great things that I love about through the years of Buren and the staff is that I've seen leadership develop here over the years. That leaders are not just yes people, but they lead things. They do things. They make things happen. The staff that has always worked here has always been such a great blessing of doing things for the work of the kingdom of God and not having to be pushed and prodded, but to lead. E is for everyone is loved. Not only are they welcome, but everyone is loved here. And there's always just a great amount of love that comes forth. S is for spirit power. I was thinking even the songs that we sang this morning. We want revival. You want a place where the Spirit of God is lifted and exalted and allowed to move and to have His way in this place. W is for the whole body. The whole body here gets involved in what's taking place. It's not just segments, but it's a place where the whole body can be what it needs to be. A is where I fit in. All the world. Beard has always had a vision for this church to reach out and touch people around the world. And I'm so thankful to be a part of that, that you're not just interested. Yesterday I went with Bjorn and helped to take some of the food to Rustin's Hope and to be able to see what you're doing on a local basis, but also what you do is reaching around the world and touching people in different places. And I personally believe that when you sow into that, you reap that and you're beneficiary of all the good things that God is doing around the world. And why is for you can reach your potential here. You can become what God wants you to be in this environment. You can become anything that God wants you to be. There's no limitations. You know, the reality is quite honestly, you know, I'm celebrating this year 40 years of traveling, and I've gone to a lot of churches. A lot of times there are churches that really don't want you to reach your potential. They want you to stay where you are and not have knowledge and just be able to be told everything. But this is a place where you can reach your potential and, again, become everything that God wants you to be. So celebrate Eagles Way for your 50 years. And I was thinking about this scripture, and I close with this. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul wrote, and I just read this to you today, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it's right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. This I pray, that your love may abound and still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." My prayer is that in these next 50 years that you'll be filled with all the fruits of righteousness, and that all that the Lord has begun in you, He will bring completion to. Amen? You believe that? Well, it's a great joy and an honor for me to not only be here with you on your celebration day, and you've been doing this at different times through this year, I know. But today, Charles Simpson is here, and Charles is a father in the faith. Charles has been ministering about 60 years, ministering in the Word of God and traveling around the world and proclaiming the gospel. He is a man who I look to as my pastor and friend, and I'm so glad for who he is and for what he's accomplished. He's been very involved in launching churches and establishing the Word of God in so many different ways around the world. And so I'm so glad that he's able to be here today and to share the Word of God with you. Would you welcome Charles Simpson?
Thank you very much. Is there any way to dial that spot down any? Can you hit re-stand it?
Just don't look at it.
Oh. All right. Okay. Let's pray together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity that this moment presents. We thank you for the possibilities that are in the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to stretch our thinking. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will say more than I do, and that you'll speak personally to every heart. And we're so grateful for all the life that's been poured into making this moment possible, and I pray that we'll pour ours so that the moments like this will be possible in the future, and the generations yet to come can know the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 61, I want to join Brother Ronald in thanking you for the opportunity to be here, thanking Pastor Buren, and thank you, those of you who went to my daughter's home in Costa Rica and helped work. I want to tell you how much I appreciate that. They're not just missionaries, but they're my kids. And I've got now, I think, 11 kids down there. And we're very grateful. We just had another little two-year-old last week added to us, and we're blessed. We deeply appreciate it. And I appreciate you. It's been a while since I've been here, but I remember being here. And the nicest thing I can say anymore is I remember. That's a wonderful thing. Brother Ronald said, I've been in ministry for about 60 years, and it hit me. 50th anniversary is about half as old as I am, and I'm really glad to last and survive. I was licensed in 1955. That was 19, not 1855. Anyway. I appreciate the opportunity to serve the Lord. Aren't you glad you're doing this instead of something else? I'd be dead a long time ago, I'm sure, if I hadn't given my life to the Lord. And it wasn't my idea either in the first place. He knows better than we do. Jack Hayford said he got a birthday card, and Jack's a little older than I am, I think. He got a birthday card with a little old man sitting in the midst of his presence. And he said, is this you sitting among your presents on your birthday, or did somebody give you a little old man for your birthday? Anyway, I know a lot of age jokes. I don't know why I get interested in those and old couple jokes and all that. But I'll leave that. No, I won't, actually. I will. My dad used to love to tell a good story. My dad was Scot-Irish, and my mother was a German-Cajun, which is a very bad cocktail. But my dad used to tell a story about a guy that fell out of a window and landed on the street. And somebody rushed over and said, what happened? He said, I don't know. I just got here myself. And that kind of characterizes my life, to tell you the honest truth. Well, let's read from Isaiah 61, and I'll read the first, I'll read till I stop. All right, verse 1, New King James Version. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because, would you say because with me?
Because.
How many of you know that the Holy Spirit has a because? He isn't just upon us, but he is on us for a reason. He is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of Jubilee, the year of forgiveness of debt, and the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, I want to just read a little bit from Ephesians 1. You can just listen or you may turn. But I want to read from verse 15, the first chapter of Ephesians. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He didn't say give you wisdom, he said the spirit of wisdom. The difference between having a little wisdom and the spirit of wisdom is the difference between a drink of water and a river. He's not wanting just to give us a momentary gift of wisdom or a momentary revelation. He wants to give us the spirit of all of that, the source of it all. And he says, in the knowledge of him, that is Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and that we're his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. And then I want to just mention verse 22, and I don't want to skip 21, but he has all dominion. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Now, to me, it's one of the most incomprehensible verses in all the Bible. The church is his body, the fullness of Christ, who fills all in all. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him. To me, you know, I believe that this is the word of God. I believe what it says, but I don't comprehend it all. I don't comprehend that in our local church, we're the fullness of him. I'd like to be, wouldn't you? I say, I'd like to be. I'd like to be the fullness of him. In other words, I'd like to be everything he was. I can only imagine that being achieved by the supernatural grace and power of God. I want to talk about the mission of the church. Church was started in 1964, I guess, if my math is correct. 1964 was a big year. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1964. Anytime anybody says 64, that's the first thing I think about. And the Beatles were introduced in 1964. I was pastoring a Baptist church at that time, and I saw the impact immediately on our young people. Yeah. I'm trying to skip over that part. Anyway, in 1964, Lyndon Baines Johnson started the war on poverty. Thank God for that. Anyway, he lost. Anyway, the Rolling Stones did their first tour. Atlanta Braves began their move to Atlanta from Milwaukee. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was on TV for the first time. Isn't that something? But the best thing that happened that year was this church was started. And thousands of lives have been touched. Thank God for Brother Goss's pioneering spirit believe God, and we're celebrating what he did and what those have done that have made this church survive. The question is, what are we going to do with the legacy that he created? And even more than that, what are we going to do with the legacy of our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles and the early church? What are we going to do with it? What is our mission? The Apostle Paul's prayer for the church. I appreciate the Apostle Paul, a man that gave his life. Beaten, jailed, you know all that. His head was cut off because he loved the church more than he loved himself. And he started churches and wrote letters to the churches and prayed for the churches. He said, I don't stop praying for the churches. I wish we could all love the church the way he loved the church, the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, it says in Ephesians 5. He said, I'm praying. What I'm praying constantly is that you would receive the spirit of revelation. That your eyes would... How many of you understand there's a lot our eyes are not open to? And listen, you're not going to get it from me. You're going to get it from the Holy Spirit, or you're not going to get it at all. I can fill up 30 minutes or hour. I could probably fill up an hour and a half. But that wouldn't give anybody a revelation. How many of you have learned that you can't change people? Anybody here ever learned that? How many of you practice trying? And, you know, that was a big revelation. I wish I had known that when I first started in the ministry. It would have been a lot easier. I was just thinking of some examples. Anyway, if God doesn't do it, you're never going to do it. And one of the best things you can do is pray for God to reveal himself to them. Now, you can coach and you can disciple and you can teach and all that, but unless there's something received by the individual, unless they see what you're talking about, I was leading a lady to Christ in West Virginia years ago, and she was having a hard time receiving the Lord. And she was in agony. She was just bending over like this, and I was trying to talk to her, so I was bending over on top of her. And she suddenly saw it, like to knock me out. She said, oh! I mean, you know, it's a revelation. It's an epiphany. It's an insight. Bang. God shows you something you didn't see before. He said, I'm praying that the spirit of revelation, not just a particular revelation, but a flowing source inside of you, will open your eyes to know Jesus Christ. You don't know Jesus through knowledge alone. You know him through revelation. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit showed you that Jesus was the Son of God, or that he was your Lord and you needed to trust him? He said, I want you to know him by revelation. Not by knowledge only, but by revelation. Historical knowledge is a good thing, but it doesn't transform you until you see that it's a present revelation. It's something right now. He said, I'm praying that you'll know your calling. You'll know his calling for you. Boy, it makes a big difference when you know it's Jesus doing the talking. People can motivate you, but you need to get it from God if you're going to stick it out. He said, I'm praying that you'll know that you're his inheritance. Lord, I wish I could give you a better inheritance. We are the reward for Christ's death and resurrection. He said, I'm praying that you'll know his resurrection power. How many of you believe that he still has resurrection power? How many of you know the world needs to see that the church still has resurrection power? One example is worth 1,000 arguments. As John Sherrill said years ago, a man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. He said, I'm praying that you'll know the sovereignty of God. That God rules over all principalities and powers. Now, I really think if we have that revelation, we're not timid about taking them on in the world. And he said, and this is the thing that really struck me. He said, I want you to know the church is his body, the fullness of him. His body, the fullness. Let's talk about what that means. We know head and body, and that's terminology that Paul used in other places. We are his body with his mission. And I would like to say I'm a part of his body with his mission. I have mission DNA in me. Every cell of my body, if what I'm reading here is true, and I believe it is affected. It has a DNA, it has an original cellular makeup of Christ's nature and Christ's mission. And corporately, we make up that body. Now, a body, help me, Lord. I don't want to shout at you. A body does the will of the head. Are you with me now? If a body doesn't do what the head tells it to do, we say it's handicapped or special needs. Now, I have a sister-in-law that's special needs. And special needs is tragic because the head can't control everything the body does. I think we have a lot of special needs churches. Christ is the head, we're the body, and if Christ is the head, and we're the body, will not Christ do in us what he did when he was on the earth? If Christ is, has Christ changed? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm sorry, I just feel like doing something drastic, and I'm trying to constrain myself. Because I actually think preaching really doesn't make much difference. That's what I really believe. I'm standing there telling you I'm doing something that's not going to make much difference. But see, I've done this long enough to know it doesn't. Because it's theater. People are measuring whether you did a good job or not, not whether they heard what you said or not. And I'm sure this is a different congregation and you're going to get it all, but let me just say that we have turned what Jesus did into theater. Now, how many of you believe Jesus is our model? How many of you believe he's our model? I believe he is. You know something that's staggering? You study what he did and study what we do. Take a good look at what he did and what he said and what we do. And I'm not being critical of us, but we have to hold up the model if we're going to rise to it. And Jesus, in his body, Isaiah 61 is very clear, the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him because he was anointed to do certain things, to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you know the best evangelism field is people that are in trouble? People that are not in trouble, they don't need Jesus. It's an academic thing to them. But when you're in trouble, you need Jesus. How many of you know you can pray some real serious prayers when you're in trouble? They say there's no atheists in foxholes. And, you know, I know people that had no concern for God, and they got in real trouble, and they could pray a real prayer. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We need to look the poor up. And by the power of God, turn them into successful people by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a model. And if we start with people that are successful, we can't really tell what God did. But you find somebody that's a mess. Now that's a testimony. The Spirit of the Lord guides upon me to preach to the poor, to heal the broken. You reckon there's any brokenhearted people in Griffin, Georgia? People that are hurting, proclaim liberty to the captives. Well, we know they're captives. All kinds. We have more and more of our young people captives all the time with drugs and alcohol and whatever else there is out there. To open prison doors, to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the forgiving of debts, God's vengeance, God's justice. Listen, you don't need to take revenge on anybody. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Somebody says, vengeance is sweet. It's so sweet, God wants it all for himself. You don't have to exact revenge. We are to preach the salvation gospel, the gospel of comfort, the gospel of peace, and let God take care of some things that a lot of us are worrying about. And to proclaim comfort and exchange beauty for ashes. I can't linger on this. The oil of joy for mourning. Oil is a healing thing. There are essential oils you can get you can rub on that are good. People are finding out what the ancients knew a long time, that certain oils are healing. They're pain-killing oils. I have some for sale right after the meeting. No, I don't. But I use them. And you can buy them at... No, I'm not going there. I'm just saying. I honestly don't have anything to do with that. But the oil... How many of you would like to have a little more of the oil of joy? Would you like to have the oil of joy? Laughter. He said, I've come... People don't see Jesus as being joyful. They see a man of sorrows, and of course that's true. But he's also man of joy. So he said, I've anointed you to bring the oil of joy, the garment of praise, and become a tree of righteousness bearing fruit and a restorer. Restoration is harder than building it in the first place. Somebody gave us a boat years ago, about a 60-foot sailboat, two-masted schooner. They gave it to us because it was sunk. And so it's a wonderful gift to have. It's the house is on fire, it's all yours, you know. It had been a gorgeous boat built in 1925 by Bath Iron Works in Maine. It was built for the Spanish Queen's Cup. And it was a gorgeous boat, all teak and mahogany and brass, 70-foot mast and a 55-foot mast. But the wormholes finally got it, and it was sunk in shallow water, and we managed to get it up. And we decided to restore it rather than remodel it. How many of you know there's a difference? And so we said, we're going to restore it. And we did add stereo and air conditioning. But it took 2 years to do it. There's 1,600 screws in the deck. And you know, you learn a lot about people when you're on a project with them. Or if you're playing ball on a team. You don't learn much about people in church. You might learn whether they can talk or not, or whether they can sing or not, but you don't know much about them. But I'll tell you what, you get out on a work project with them, and you'll find out a lot about them. And, of course, I wouldn't be concerned about anything I might find out about anybody here, but, you know, you get involved with some people, and you think... I don't mean marriage either. I just was thinking, you know, you really get to know people when you're working together. Well... Restoring is work. How many of you know there are a lot of folks out there that need to be restored? They've been wasted, destroyed. Jesus is a redeemer and a restorer. Now, if Jesus is in us, you know, Colossians 1:27 says, The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but is Christ in you? Is he in me? Now, we have flesh. You know, the Bible acknowledges that. We have flesh. We have fleshly appetites. It's all right to have a body. We have to subdue it. We have to, in effect, die to it. But thank God we have bodies. But it's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. Our hope of glory is not in our body. I can tell you that. The body, I was telling the pastor, I think I shrunk about an inch and a half from my original height. I've hit the shrinking stage. I hate it. People say, how tall are you? I always tell them I'm as tall as I used to be, but I'm not. And my mother-in-law, God bless her, she was about as tall as I am, and she shrunk. When she was 95, she had really shrunk. Now, I don't mean to depress you, but you're going to shrink if you live long enough. Your body is not your hope of glory. But Christ in us, if Christ increases, I see some of you falling into depression already from me mentioning about you shrinking. Some of you don't have to worry about that. You already shrunk. Now, the thing is, it's Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. When this body, glory to God, gives way, when its inability, when its futility, when all the vain things we imagined about it and hoped for it proved to be a lie, the hope of glory is in the Christ who is in us. If Christ is in us, the hope of glory, does he not want to express himself through you the way he did when he walked the face of the earth? Does he not want to preach good news to those that are poor? Does he not want to heal the brokenhearted? Does he not want to reach out the way he did? Doesn't he want to say to the prisoner, you can be free? Isn't he the same? Did Christ merely observe the creeds and formalities of religion? Is that all he did? Did he congratulate himself that he was a regular attender at the synagogue? Or did he decide to take those truths which had been locked in small clusters out into a world and change it? Because who Christ was is who Christ is. What hinders his mission? Why? How did we become observers in the watching sense instead of observers in the doing sense? Well, I don't mean to indict all God's people. There are so many of God's people that are doing wonderful things in all of the world. And yet, we measure church by what happens for an hour or so on Sunday morning rather than what happens the other 6 days a week. And it's not a good measure. Well, what hinders? What is it that prevents the church from exploding in a local mission? Why is it that some of the cities with the biggest and greatest mega churches continue to have rising crime problems? Why is it that we can build successful churches and failing communities? Are you hearing what I'm saying? How does that happen? Well, you could say sin. And sin certainly does make people ashamed. Because we have guilt for our sin, we're reluctant to say anything to anybody else. Perhaps one of the reasons is that knowledge, religious knowledge, has become an end in itself, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were measured by how much they knew, but they did so little. Maybe it's the hypnotic habits that prevent us from breaking out and doing something different. We watch the fob go back and forth each week until we become hypnotized, entranced, and not able to think fresh thoughts and start on new adventures. Maybe that's part of the problem. The pastor asked a man, he said, "Why do you go to sleep every time I preach?" The man said, "I trust you." This happened in a church, I won't name the state, but there was a deacon on the second row that, I didn't mean to point, there was a deacon on the second row that went to sleep. I mean, as soon as the preacher got up, he went to sleep. And this happened a long time. And one night, the preacher was going on, and all of a sudden the lights went out. And when the lights went out, everybody got dead quiet. And the guy woke up. Pitch black, dead quiet. He said, "I'll be damned. They went off and left me." You can edit that if you want to. And then the lights came back on. And they hadn't gone off and left him. He'll never live it down. Well, the preacher said to the usher, he said, "Wake that man up." He said, "You wake him up. You put him to sleep." You know, the thing is, repetition can have a hypnotic effect. And we just know what's going to happen. Put it on cruise control and hope it's entertaining enough that we can stand it for an hour. Why? How did we become theater? Sin? Knowledge became an end? Hypnotic habits? Hiding in the church? If I just kind of duck down and tend, nobody will know I'm not really doing the mission. Oh, I can be satisfied by the fact that I give some, maybe tithe, but I'm just not that type of person to go out and do stuff. Well, hiding in the church. I can rejoice because our church is sending missionaries. Let me tell you, you can't pay anybody to do what you're supposed to do. You just can't. There's not enough staff. There's not enough money. When you stand before God and he says, "Well, let's take a look here at the records." And this is Matthew 25 paraphrased. And he says, "Whoa. You never visited anybody in prison." "Oh, but let me tell you, our pastor did. And I was a faithful tither, and that enabled him to go to prison and visit." I see, well, I never saw you comforting a mourner. I never saw you giving anybody without clothes. But we had a great clothing ministry in our church. Now, what I'm trying to say is, folks, we've got to personalize the mission if the church is going to do its mission. It has to get, the DNA has to get into the cell and not just in a general sense. Jesus was a person. Now, he had disciples, but he wasn't a group. He was a person. Committees don't do very much. If you want something done, don't turn it over to a committee. Give it to somebody. I'm not against committees. Maybe I am. I don't know. Anyway, but a lot of people are hiding in the body. If I just kind of be faithful and quiet, nobody will know that I'm not doing what the Christ in me wants to do. Well, and a lot of people just plain embarrassed that let anybody know they're Christians. And Peter had that problem the night of the crucifixion. But if we fail to do what we know, Mark 4 says, you will lose what you thought you knew. The only way to maintain your knowledge level is to keep using it. It's just like a language. If you don't use it, you lose it. So if God has shown you things, but you don't practice those things in the mission, and a mission statement is not a mission. A mission is what you do. If you don't practice what the Lord has shown you, you become stupid. Pretty soon your eyes will look glassy. And you'll say, I knew that. I just can't bring it up. A lot of people become theater because it's too much trouble to do what Christ has called them to do. Or they're embarrassed out there. And look, maybe we've all had that experience. I'm not condemning anybody. But that gets in the way of the mission. Now, I just want to point out, and I'm going to close here in a minute, as the pastor said, now as I continue to close. Anyway, I want to just mention how the disciples learned mission. There are three things. One is they heard it. Second, they watched it, and then they did it. You can hear it, you need to see it, and then you need to do it. Now, you can hear it. If you don't see it happening, you won't really know how it's done. If you see it happening and you never do it, you won't know how it's done. But Jesus told them, he showed them, they did it with him. If you're not involved in any kind of mission, and it's possible there's somebody here like that, join yourself to somebody who is, and let them teach you, watch them, do it with them, and then someday you can do it and teach somebody else how to do it. We need to replicate our mission capacity on a personal level. I would urge, in the most serious manner, that every one of us engage in some kind of mission. And I don't mean Africa. And I thank God. I sat down with a man from Africa 2 weeks ago, and I'm all for it. Brother Ronald's been to Africa. We have a wonderful mission in Kenya. But let me tell you, the United States has become a mission field. Our nation needs God as much as any other nation does. We've become a secular nation, and there's a war for the soul of our nation, and it's not going to be one in Washington, D.C. It's going to be one in Griffin, Georgia. It's going to be one in communities. It's going to be one everywhere where people are leading people to Christ. The only antidote to the right government is to have the right people doing the voting. And so we need to lead people to Christ, not just for political reasons, but when we complain about the government, remember, they were elected by somebody. So, get engaged in mission. Congratulations to those of you who know the mission of Christ in you and are doing it. We're created for mission. God knew you before your mother knew you. Psalm 139. And you were formed for purpose. And the saddest words that anyone could ever utter is that I lived my life and never found out why. The saddest people are those who live under the expectations of others and never do what God put in their heart. Find out what that is. Ask God for the spirit of revelation. Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Open my heart. Give me the fortitude to do it. He who tries has not failed. The only one who fails is the one who never tries. Take another look at Jesus. Say, Lord, let me see you in a fresh way because you live in me. Help me to express you the way you expressed yourself. Jesus said, Jesus commanded, go make disciples. Teach them to observe everything I taught you. By observe, he didn't mean watch. Remember, it's a commission. The commission, the great commission, is something he wants to do with you. God bless you.
Let me tell you why it's important, this message is this morning. About a month ago, I was sitting in my office, and Charles, the Lord just really spoke to my spirit. The next series I do to do, I'm going to call it Jesus Stories. And the Lord just really spoke to me. Let me see, as we go through the Gospels and see these stories of Christ, that it's not us seeing what he did at the woman at the well, but it's, are we Christ at the well, giving the water? And we're going to see the gospel not from us receiving standpoint, but from our giving standpoint. Not from us having our needs met, but seeing that we're meeting the needs of other people. And I may start it next week and forget about James. I don't know. I just got a couple more weeks in James. But the ushers have come. We're going to receive a special offering for Charles's ministry. This morning about 8:30, somebody rang my doorbell, and nobody rings my doorbell at 8:30 on Sunday morning. And gave me an envelope with $1,400 in it. So I guess this just goes in the... Oh, that's yours, Dusty? I'm sorry. She was sinking. She knew I was about to give that rent money. But as we're receiving, I missed a couple of... missed a staff meeting a couple of months ago, and I came the next week and was going over some stuff, and they said, you know, you're having a water baptism at the pavilion. And I said, oh, no, I'm not. I said, I'd like to have drowned last September in that water, trying to stand in that mud. And I said, it is just too hard to baptize, so we're going to do it the really old-fashioned way this morning. We're going to baptize in a pool, the way it ought to be done, not in the mud. So, again, if you're visiting with us, if you know where the pavilion is, we're going out there for tiny pork chop barbecue that you're going to just love, and just have a good time together. If you don't know how to get there, just follow some people. You know, I really can't. I'm terrible at giving instructions. If I told you how to get there, you wouldn't make it on time to eat. So find somebody who knows where they're going. Like Charles said, find somebody that's doing it, and you'll get there. So thank you for everything you do here, and now we're going to have a quick baptism video and baptism, and then the band will dismiss you.